Hello and welcome to Talking Architects. I'm your host, Matt Deacon. So all architects love the cloud. Well, okay, they're cautiously optimistic. At least that's the view from MWD Advisors in a recent survey they did with the International Association of Software Architects. While I was at an ISA conference in New York, I managed to catch up with Neil Ward-Dutton from MWD Advisors. I wanted to get his perspective on cloud computing, but first I asked him about their involvement with ISA and the value of architects.
We're a research and advisory firm based in the UK, and all of our client work is really in Europe. But we've been involved with ISA for a year and a little bit now, actually through the UK chapter, which of course you're president of.
That's right.
We've developed a research relationship where we are providing some additional services to help Paul and the team, and actually I guess the presidents worldwide potentially, structure some more of the research they do internally of the membership, and learn a bit more about what the community wants and what they think and what they find easy and what they find difficult. And because we're a research and advisory firm, of course that has value for us to understand what architects think in the large, if you like. Mm. But at the same time, we're providing stuff back to the membership as well. So that's in the form of papers and webinars and so on. Something that really just came out from this conference in terms of the potential power of that is that initially we thought, well, it's great because we can give content to members that they can learn what other members are doing and so on. But I think it goes a lot further. I was talking to a couple of chapter presidents about advocacy, and we suddenly thought, oh, actually, you know what, if we've got all this data about what architects are doing and how they're involved and stuff, it's potentially quite attention grabbing, and it can be used not only in just let's say news releases to be picked up by trade journalists and stories, which is great because it gets the ISA name out there, but also potentially in advocacy. So we can pitch some of this research to CIOs in the members' organisations and kind of help to explain the value of architects and architecture to them. Mm. So I think there's a lot of ways that we can use the research we do together to really help members learn more and get more value from their membership, and also help with advocacy and also raise the profile of ISA generally. And so that's cool. I think everyone wins.
Absolutely. All for that. And you said that you're interested in talking to architects. I guess my question there is why? You know, so what's an architect? The value of an architect? You know, what is the value of an architect to you, and why are you interested in it? Why do you see them as an interesting group to focus on?
I think that's a really good question, because, you know, it seems to be the question that everyone here is also talking about and thinking about is, what's the value of architecture really? Can we find a really succinct way of expressing that to people? Maybe people who aren't experts in the area, and we need to express it in a simple way. And I think the architect community, as it kind of professionalizes and becomes more structured and formal, is a real linchpin in terms of delivering sustainable, which sounds a bit cheesy maybe, but delivering sustainable business value from IT investment. And that's, we're interested in that question. We're interested in that question because that's actually what we do as a company, is we research that question and advise on that question. How do you deliver that sustainable, repeatable value to the business from investment in IT? And I think that is one of the really big questions that's out there, actually. And architects are absolutely central to that delivery, because they're, one way of looking at the architect's job is to balance long-term and short-term needs, and to balance large scope and small scope needs, and to balance conflicting interests, and to try and drive or guide, really, guide is maybe all we can hope for, but to try and guide the right kinds of optimization in terms of how we target IT investment and how we deliver results. So if architects are doing their job right in their organisations, I think they're absolutely central to that, delivering that business value, because they are at the centre of all sorts of different forces. So that's why, to me, it's so important to understand what architects are doing, what they're finding easy, what they're finding difficult, where they're looking next, because they're so important to that whole, I suppose, the agenda that we have and the questions we help people answer around how you bring IT and business together to really get the best value for the stakeholders and so on.
Yeah.
That was a very long answer.
No, it's fantastic. I was springing off so many other thoughts in my mind, and it's the thing that caught me early on was if they do it right, and I think the part of that is architects are always searching. What is the way of doing the architecture right? And I guess there's no single answer there. It's always going to be, it depends.
The classic phrase.
But I guess coming together in these environments, I think, are kind of really enriching in that they are peers talking about problems they face, experience. Talking to Angela Yochum just earlier on, and she came away from her talk, and a few people said, I'm going to really hit the business head on and be very assertive as a consequence of her. And she said, to be very guarded, and back to your point, she highlighted it was about the training game between short and long term, and I think so many people still hide behind, if something's not clearly the absolute right thing to do, they don't see it. They see it as black and white, and that you've got to treat these things as being greyer, and that get a short term gain, and she called it carrying technology debts,
right?
Which is a fantastic phrase. How do you balance that? Keep that balance sheet under control, because you're going to inherit these short-term fixes or changes to respond to business needs. If you understand your business better, then you're able to understand the motivation that drives those decisions.
Yeah, and I think that's why, that's, I suppose, the one big thing I'll take away from me in terms of why ISO is so important, is that this is a profession that's still kind of emerging and formalising, and there's so many people here that are just... It provides a forum for people in this position to really learn from each other, and what I thought was really quite stunning, actually, was... that, if you look at the lineup of the kind of the big tent speakers that have been here, and the people who were together on the panel, I mean, what are the chances of you seeing, Grady Booch, Len Bass, John Zachman, Eric Evans, people like that, all sitting together and talking about the things that they think architecture is useful for, the things that are difficult about it. I mean, and to me, the fact that they've committed to all come to this event is a really strong statement. And in fact, Grady in his keynote today said that he thought that, the fact that the people were all there in the room was an incredibly positive thing, and he was very supportive of that. And I think that's an incredibly strong statement that says that there's people who are very senior out there in the industry looking at ISA as being something that has an awful lot of potential to really drive this forward. And I think that just brought it home to me how important it is as a body, because getting it right is really important, I think, for so many organisations.
I guess alongside of that is delivering the results as well, because it's fine to have it for its own sake. Community can exist for many reasons, but I think the angle that ISA represents, being the representative of the profession, needs it to start delivering on those promises and drive that agenda forward. So I'm interested to see the results. As a result of this conference alone, I am now far more results driven than I was before I came out.
Right.
Because everybody is talking about it. They're all saying, if you can't identify, your financial value to your organisation or to the role that you have, people with the stakeholders that you work with, then you have a problem,
right?
And so I think I'm very much about so what's the input and what's the output. And I think whilst these are very important events and they are groundbreaking in the sense they're bringing so many different mindsets together, how do we bottle that?
Yeah.
How do we use that material for the good of the kind of wider profession, the industry as a whole?
Right, and I think we're still making that transition because there's almost like an internal and an external face to it. So, you know, there's a lot of people here talking about, you might think of more internally focused stuff around, you know, architectural chops, if you like, you know, being able to get better at specific kind of design skills or domain-specific kind of thinking and so on. And then there's the external piece, as you were just talking about, which is how do we all, as a group, get better at consistently demonstrating the value that architecture as a profession or as a practice, the value that that provides. I think we've still got some way to go, but what was really encouraging about a lot of the sessions here is that the knowledge is out there, I think. And I wasn't sure before whether it really was, and I think there's a guy called Cliff Berg who gave a great presentation on the value of IT and thinking in a value-oriented way about IT investment. And I think you can apply a lot of what he talked about to architecture, and you look at what Angela was talking about. I think the knowledge is out there, and we just need to take a couple of extra steps. And then the great thing is that ISA is a really good platform for then socialising that and getting extra commentary on it and building up that knowledge. But it seems that we're on the kind of cusp of really taking that to the next level, which is really cool.
Yes, and back to your interest with architects in terms of NWD's role and the role that together you've already talked about. That some of the work you've done recently, so you just produced some results or a survey on cloud computing, which we just heard about earlier on today.
Yeah.
There's no time now to summarise, I guess, but what would be the top findings from that work you've done with ISA?
Yeah.
Cloud computing, what are you seeing, you know, in that space? What are the big drivers and opportunities?
I think, we've just done a kind of first cut survey. And ideally, we'd like to do a bit more in-depth, because just doing the first survey, we've learned a few things that would... I think what often happens, you go, now I know that. Wouldn't it be great if I'd really asked this other question? So we get to, there's more work we can do. But so the initial survey we ran was in September. We got about 360-odd responses. And we were asking architects primarily what kind of activity they were pursuing with cloud computing, what kinds of models they were thinking about in terms of the tools they were using and how they were deploying technology, the kinds of factors they thought were important in terms of supplier selection, for example, managing the development process and the delivery of software in a cloud environment. And the key takeaways, really, I think, were that it's still very early days, but... And the caveat, there's a caveat around the fact that this was a group of people who they're already thinking about cloud, so it's a little bit biased, maybe. But I was really pleasantly surprised at how much is really going on. You know, around half of the people who we surveyed said that they were already using this stuff to quite an extent. Already had stuff that was live. In terms of the kinds of things they're doing, to an extent, no surprise. The highest level of activity seemed to be around using the resources for development, testing, staging, which is purely really a kind of economic or a kind of provisioning value argument, which is fine as far as it goes. But there was also a significant proportion of people who were using this stuff to deliver kind of customer-facing sales and marketing-oriented applications, so you know, web-based promotional stuff and so on. And that certainly backs up a lot of what we've seen through some of the interviews we've done, one-on-one interviews with companies. So, I was really quite positively surprised, if you can say that, about how much people are already thinking about this and how much they're already prepared to get their feet wet. And people seem to be very open-minded from the results.
That's right, because I remember you saying that the architects are cautiously optimistic and... That's kind of surprised you, because you felt, you know, architects are often quite sceptical, but actually they're seeing clearly that the value and benefits of this approach, at least architecturally speaking, whether the actual implementations are delivering on those promises is where they're being cautious. But it's not a you might think, certainly in the enterprise space, it may be somewhat of a black and white decision of, you know, the barriers are too high to adopt cloud, i.e. from a data security, you know, governance perspective. And the architects are the custodian of the technology governance in some sense. So you'd think it would be high there, and indeed they've reflected that in some ways. But overall, there was a cautious, positive optimism.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were saying, weren't we, that, you know, as a rule, you tend to think of architects as being quite naturally sceptical people because there's so much hype out there and so on. And in the survey,
and they've been through it,
right? And they've all been through it many times.
They're already kind of at a career stage where they've been through several cycles of hype.
Absolutely, yeah, many, many. We're in, as I often say to people, this is a fashion industry, and you need to understand that we're in a fashion industry and then deal with it.
Because another thing you said early on, when before you kind of got onto the results, it was, is this revolution or evolution? Mm. And you pointed back to sort of all the sort of cycles of, you know, several cycles of evolution from what was it, timeshare computing through to SOA, and really it's all building on this sort of the back of these advancements over the period of time. So I guess in that sense it then doesn't become such a shock, you know, or right. to many it's not a shock. I think, you know, for certain situations in organisations it may well be disruptive.
Yeah.
But the technology itself is not.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it is, at the moment anyway, it seems to be, and this is quite natural, being pursued on a kind of application by application basis. Mm. So it's considered very, very distinctly on a kind of case by case basis rather than, ooh, let's go cloud.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's following that idea that people are developing a hybrid model of sort of services that they're consuming externally, and that idea of differentiated IT, you know, where what's the core asset, what's the core of my business, and what are the systems that encapsulate that or support that function, as opposed to those peripheral functions.
Right.
And
right.
And so as organisations become more lean in terms of their asset management, then these offerings become more natural.
It's a natural part of the equation, and I don't think it'll ever be an all or nothing thing. Mm. I mean, something that I've seen a number of times from other commentators, which I have a bit of a problem with, is that there's a lot of discussion about, well, cloud is a bit rubbish because look how difficult it would be to migrate that app there in your data centre to a cloud platform. Mm. And the reason I have a problem with that is that that's not what people are doing, and it's not what people will do for a long time, probably. If you look at SOA, you look at, before that, you know, things like CORBA and those distributed architectures and so on, client server, people didn't initially start replatforming and migrating all the old stuff to the new stuff. They start off by experimenting in some key areas, and then eventually, if they see value from those incremental kind of new projects, then they kind of start to pick backwards at the edges of what they had previously, move stuff as it makes sense. So talk about, oh, look how difficult it is to migrate X. It is just, you know, probably 5 years premature, I think. And there's plenty of opportunity out there to explore new frontiers and think, well, we've got this new thing, how about we look at doing that? That seems to be a much more low-risk way of doing things.
So, okay, so I'm waiting for the lift, and my CEO is right next to me, and he turns around and says, "Matt, cloud, what the heck is it?" Well, I've got a lift, I'm going to go 4 floors with this guy. What am I going to say to him? What's your view of cloud in one sentence or maybe less? Two at most.
Yeah, well, I'd say, well, listen, it's a way of us getting access to capacity that we could use for computing, our computing needs. It's a rental model, doesn't require us to make any investment. And at the moment, people are really exploring it for kind of situations where they might need to get access to some stuff really quickly, really cheaply. Or maybe they don't understand the demand, or they haven't got time to provision stuff internally. It's a great model to really explore new applications or new opportunities in a much quicker way. And it's what I'd also say, if I had time, was to say, you know, we shouldn't think of... You know, I think we should explore cloud, Mr. CEO, for some key things that we might want to do. But if anyone says to you, well, it's A or B, don't listen to them, because it's kind of, we'll need to keep some of the stuff we've got already.
Right.
And we need to work out how to fit these things together.
You're really lucky, because I was just about to say, can we move our core banking system over to cloud tomorrow? But you stopped me from saying that in the last sentence, so thank goodness you did that. Excellent. Well, that's great. And thanks once again for taking the time. It's a really interesting sort of stage we're at in cloud computing, but also back with ISA. It's truly, truly exciting times.
Yeah, so, I think so. And you know, we'll certainly continue to do all we can to support ISA in the future, because you know, I think it's got some really important goals and it's a very, very valuable organisation.
Yeah.
So thanks for the time.
No, absolutely. My pleasure. So, thanks.
Whatever.